I.B. Hurton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Mary Lou.
Hi.
Well, is it nice to have the call for you at 8 o'clock rather than 7?
Yes. But it will be back at 7 when you go on daylight savings time.
Rocky. Well, at least there'll be light then.
Right. It's daylight now. The sun really just came up. It's not very high yet. I guess it's been up about an hour.
It's pretty dark outside. I can't tell. It must be fog out there because I can't see Tacoma. Ding.
I'm having trouble getting on the internet, and it's not the internet. It's Internet Explorer problem. So I'll mess here while I'm going to go on mute while I try to do this.
Okie doke.
Morning.
Good morning, Monty.
Morning.
I sent you a little note.
Oh, you did? I'm running late this morning.
A little reply. Good morning. Anyone else on the call?
Joan is here.
Good morning, Joan.
Oh, yeah, good.
I was just saying I can't see Tacoma today. It's foggy over there.
Yep.
Fogged in. My, who else is on the call? Are you guys having trouble getting on WebEx? Well, good morning anyway.
No, I didn't. Whatever is to your answer to your question.
Okay, Monty. Do you need for me to start, or would you like to go ahead?
Why don't you go ahead? I got just another thing to get done here. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our health style call. It's our alarm clock. Wake us up in the morning and have us start thinking in a positive manner and get a good start for our week in staying on track with our goals to be healthier and be practicing our practice of habitual health style choices to become more and stay more mind and body fit. And so we hope that will help you to be able to do that in this coming week. We'll get you off to a good start with NECAN. If ever you are not able to be on the call and would like to listen to the recording, they are available on allswell.org. That is www.allswell.org. Thanks to Steve Crowfoot. We certainly appreciate that. We do have some slides that are available with our charts on at ybhurton.com. That is Hurton, HURTN.com, or .biz. Let us look at the chart that we have that we follow. It is a chart to keep us on track, have us have a perfect 10-day. We would have 8 glasses of Pymag water, and we have little check boxes in the chart so you can check them off. You'll remember that you had them. Some people, they put pennies in one pocket and then move them to the other pocket, or whatever they have their pennies in, or whatever you're counting with, something to keep track. Some people, they get a big pitcher and that holds their eight ounce servings of water. And some people, if they are of bigger structure, they drink more than that. so that you take your weight and divide it in half and figure those are your ounces, and then you'll know that, then you'll know about how many servings of water one should be drinking. Better to have a bit too much than not enough. Don't want to be drying up, getting thick blood. We always think of water as a, you know, people say that they have to have a blood thinner. Well, if you haven't been drinking enough water, then you have to have a blood thinner of one type or another. Keep your blood proper thickness, like coffee. Then we have the second point on our chart is Nican sleep. And so then you want to get your sleep and you have a place to check that off. And so you can really feel you're accomplishing something toward your health goals as you check these things off on the chart. Exercise 30 minutes or more a day, whether it's walking for 30 minutes or swimming for 30 minutes or sometimes people have been being reported that you don't have to do it all at once. You can do it in 10-minute bites or 15-minute bites. And then we have our nutritionals, and we have a list of those on the chart, but just that you remember to take them throughout the day or all at once, whichever you do. Journaling, that's a lot of what this chart is for, to allow it to be easy for you to journal, because you can check off your things, and the nice thing about it is it's all blank on the backside, so that you can write down maybe what you had for your meal, meals, and you can also write down how you're feeling during the day, just a couple of words, tired, sleepy, whichever, headache. And so then when you have, when you do have a problem and you have written down your food, you can look and say, okay, I felt like this last week. And you look at your chart and you can make a comparison. Did I eat something that was the same? Did I skip something? Did I have not enough sleep? And then you'll be able to figure out a little bit better about what track you're taking and maybe able to figure about more if, what makes you feel really terrific and what makes you feel not so terrific. So then there's enough room on a chart also that when for your breakfast, lunch, and even your snacks. You have three meals and two snacks a day usually. And you'll be able to write down if you did or if you didn't, and you even have enough room so that you can write what you ate. And then you won't have to write it down on the back. So that's pretty much the ten points, and you can you have a place to keep track of them every day. It looks to me like on this chart, Sunday doesn't have quite as much room as the rest of the week. I made the chart, so it's all right for me to notice that we don't have as equal value given to each of the days, and so you might have to write more on the backside. I'm not sure why that is. I didn't even notice it before. So hopefully you'll enjoy using the chart. It is available on the YB Herdin website. We also have, for your convenience and help, we have a chart that allows you when you begin to measure yourself and the locations of the places you might measure yourself are listed on here, suggestions. And the thing is that if you want to measure yourself someplace, you'll be consistent each time, and then you'll be able to see that if you want to change your size, that you can measure yourself once a week or once a month, how whatever you decide, and be able to write them on here, and then you can set your goals, and then you can weigh yourself, and you have a chart to keep track of your progress that way. We also have charts for acidity and alkalinity, and that will give you an idea of some of the foods that are most alkaline and the ones and then more alkaline and less alkaline and least acidic to most acidic and on the chart, so that you will have an idea how you can balance those out, so you don't have have to go over here and eat all the most alkaline. You're supposed to be able to try to keep yourself in a neutral pH. And by having something over here on the acidic side, this doesn't mean you're not supposed to eat any of them. I would be out of balance because of all these nuts I eat that are over here on the acidic side, that some of them are on the acidic side. Almonds, however, are over here on the alkaline side, and that's the ones I eat primarily. And so, but if I ate some other kinds of nuts, sometimes I eat some cashews or whatever. And so I can also have maybe some figs or some watermelon or avocados or apricots or something that will balance me out. So then I'll still stay in the alkaline, kind of in the more, a little bit more alkaline than acidic. Most of the time I don't eat any, and we don't eat very any, if any, of things over here on the most acidic. A couple of them especially that have a warning triangle, which is NutraSweet equal the bad fake sugars, refined salt, and then we have also charts that show are colored also for acid alkalinity, but they are the carbohydrates chart, and they tell you an idea, give you an idea of how much you might want to eat, tells how much they're in blocks, and so you can look at those on the site. And there's also the one for, well, I think I can use the pictures back as I'm talking, for protein choices. And this time I hope that Monty's all set, and I'll turn the time for over to Super Monty.
Thank you, Monty. Ruth, I really appreciate it. Nice for us to go back over all that stuff on a good old Monday, which I didn't realize, but today was a holiday, a federal holiday, which I didn't realize, but here we are. And today what I'd like to talk about in regards to Mondays, we normally try to talk about toxins. And I know we've had some discussion recently about GMO and different types of toxins that have been in foods and everything else, but today I'd like to talk about the new GMO, and I hope this what I'm going to mention to you hasn't been mentioned before, but I couldn't bring it up in my brain. But they actually, that there's a global pesticide company previously announced that last week that it is planned basically to start selling a new type of GMO. And I know we, one of the things we talked about, how GMOs have such a bad effect upon our bodies, that when they genetically modify these organisms and put them into seeds and everything else, and they're now starting to realize that, and have done some research and found out that it actually has certain effects upon our body. And they're going to be introducing this new GMO type of a spray basically to farmers as early as the 2014 growing season. And matter of fact, it even talks about even in 2013. But it's basically a move weed scientists have been predicting for weeds for years, since weeds have been growing increasingly resistant to the chemical glyphosate, the active ingredients, of course, in Roundup. We all know what Roundup is, and that is, you spray it on it, and before too long, it's whatever it's sprayed on is personally basically dead, and it keeps the herbicide bugs and everything else off. But what they found out that Roundup basically is in what's called the Roundup Ready 2 extender, that soybeans are genetically engineered to withstand sprays, not just of Roundup weed killer, but also dicamba. It's a new chemical weed killer that disrupts the plant's hormonal system and causes them to grow in abnormal ways that usually lead to death. Dicamba is a developmental toxin, and they're starting to basically introduce it. They've now realized that the introduction of GMOs basically in the early 1990s was supposed to lower the pesticide use in the United States. But it's then basically it's done anything but that. And just think about this, that in 2009, farmers dumped more than 57 million pounds of glyphosate on food crops, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Just like overusing antibiotics in farm animals, which cause antibiotic resistance, pesticide abuse causes weed resistance, resulting in massive hard-to-kill, they call them super weeds now. Because of this, non-organic farmers are forced to use more pesticides, sometimes even reverting back to older, even more dangerous types, such as 2,4-D, because they found that making these herbicides and pesticides they spray on crops, basically they are becoming immune to them, and the only way they can get back to getting rid of them, and that is to use an old product called D4D, which has been cut with, and of course it has already been classified as a carcinogen by the International Agency of Research on Center, and the European Union classified it as an echinoderm disruptor. So I kind of thought that was kind of interesting to realize. And last year, a gentleman by the name of David Mortensen, he's basically a weed ecologist at Penn State University, crushed the numbers and found that commercial introduction of crops genetically engineered to withstand dicamba and 2,4-D will likely lead to a 60 to 100%, amazing, 60 to 100% increase in the amount of herbicides used, adding millions of pounds of toxic pesticides into the food chain and our environment. And we talked about how that's basically so important in our environment and all the things that are out there and how we breathe things in and do that sort of stuff. And it's just kind of gotten to the point to where basically organic sounds pretty tasty about now, and more so than I guess it probably has in the future. So basically, what can we do? Well, the recent barrage of approvals allowing genetically engineered ingredients to infiltrate our coffee, the milk, the ice cream, and even apple pie, good old American apple pie, is enough to persuade some health-conscious consumers to rip up their front yards, get out their spades, and start putting in their own independently free of genetic modified ingredients into their own gardens, and it's starting to because it's really becoming a problem. And knowing where our food comes from, of course, is certainly the key to avoid GMOs. And since you can't rely on GMO companies putting products that have used GMO containing foods in their product, we're starting to really have some problems. And I know California had something on the ballot this year, I think. Does anybody know if that passed or not in California?
It did not.
Did not. So now we're
not
really in
There was a company that advertised really, really strongly against it, and that company was General Mills. Cheerio.
And in San Juan, at the San Juan County, did pass a genetic modified labeling law requirement in the state of Washington, and the petition to have on the ballot this next election in the state of Washington did acquire enough signatures so that it will be. They're going through the signatures now. They had over 10,000 more than they needed. So it will likely show up on the state of Washington's voting ballot, and people are starting to advertise against it up here.
That is exciting news, Joan. Thank you.
Yeah. Wow, that is very exciting news.
Exciting that the Washington State's on a new approved method of doing things that's good for us. But anyway, that was my little political thing, I guess. Okay. But anyhow, one of the things you're also finding out that basically that tomatoes are becoming, the two new GMOs down the pike threaten the very queen of home gardening's tomatoes, among other backyard gardening favorites. And I know that's one thing a lot of people like to raise, not only in their gardens, but on their porches or in tubs or basically whatever. So that's kind of, when I read that, I thought, boy, that's going to really hurt a lot of people because tomatoes are a lot. People really seem to enjoy tomatoes. And they also
Monty,
found
what other food? You said two of them. What was the other one? Sorry?
I think it's the new one that's coming out.
Another food? You said
the new two GMOs down the pipe threaten very queen of home gardening.
Oh, I see.
They're coming out. See, the problem is with Roundup and all other stuff and the GMOs and all these, and the plants now are becoming resistant to all that stuff. So.
I just thought you meant two foods. I didn't realize you meant
two new GMOs that are coming, and they've always got to keep, trying to stay ahead of the game, unfortunately. And who ends up suffers in the long run for all that stuff? We, the consumers of the products of the GMO-type foods and everything else. But the researchers basically are also turning up startling health problems associated with Roundup, and we know that. We've even seen some of the pictures that the Ruth shows on her slides of certain animals that have been treated with GMO-type foods and everything else. Not only is it turning out video for farmers, too. In just 10 years, at least 16 weed species have grown resistant to Roundup. And they refer to as super weeds, like I said earlier, and Monsanto, which is the producer of a lot of these herbicides and pesticides and Roundup and everything, is they're also paying farmers to use competitors' pesticides because Roundup is losing its weed-killing ability. To remedy the super weed problem, Monsanto is inserting another gene that would also make soy as resistant to the herbicide dicamba as a development toxin. Dow, of course, there's a company called Dow AgroSciences hoping to introduce the 2,4-D tolerant corn and soy has been classified as a carcinogen, which I said. In the 1900s, researchers hailed GMO as the only way to reduce pesticide use, but instead, pesticide use is on the rise since GMO corn, soy, carrots, cotton have been widely implemented. Researchers predict that adding crops that are genetically engineered to resist dicamba and 2,4-D will add millions more pounds of toxic pesticides into the food chain and the environment. Of course, we know when they spray. No, I can remember driving through Eastern Washington many times, going to Spokane or to different parts of Eastern Washington. They had the planes that would spray, and you'd drive, you'd see the plane. It was a big deal, boy. You'd see the planes fly over the fields, and they'd come up, and they'd make a real sharp turn as you're driving down the highway and everything else. And if you had your vents open or your windows open or whatever, you kind of went by that area, that you kind of got a different smell in your nose and everything else. And I just realize now what all that was doing back in those days. And a lot of people lived close to orchards and wheat farms and places where they sprayed with the airplanes, or not even with the airplanes. I can remember, too, that driving in that area, that they had these big machines that would kick out of mist, particularly in orchards, with all this herbicides and pesticides and apples and those type of things, and it became a mist. And of course, that stuff all floated around and ended up in other people's lungs, and also ended up in other people's crops and whatever. But what does it mean? Basically, that the oldest pesticides, but allowing farmers to grow new crops genetically engineered to withstand the Monsanto models predicted will result in the doubling of chemicals used in the fields. These are herbicides that are very, very active. And this gentleman, Mortensen, who was invited to testify before Congress regarding issues of superweeds last summer, their growth and regulated herbicides that have also had a bad habit is not staying put when you apply them in the field. And that's just exactly what I talked about. They just kind of, even though they've been sprayed and even on the crops themselves, they actually can, when the winds kick up and all that sort of stuff, they can actually put it into the air and actually move it after it's already been sprayed and settled upon the particular problems itself. And what they're finding is in the borders of a lot of these fields that they used to, that they're spraying the crops now with these super weeds, that they're finding that it also now is killing the stuff around, I'll call it a green belt is what I'll call it, that's how I kind of refer to it, around these different fields. And basically that stuff that they're putting on now is they're killing a lot of that stuff, and that's one of the reasons they found that they're having problems with the bees and all that sort of stuff. And particularly that a green belt around the crop usually is a habitat for good bugs and insects that help basically kill the stuff that's on the crops and the little bugs and everything else. But now that's getting to the point to where those are even being destroyed, and they're finding these super weeds starting to grow in those particular areas too. So how can we create a market that says no to GMOs? Well, Joan talked about here what we're doing here in the state of Washington. California kind of failed, but it looks like possibly that we now have the opportunity to get behind this new one that's going to be coming up on the ballot and here in the state of Washington, and we need to just demand a GMO-free aisle, and I hope that's what this whole thing's about, is that hundreds of thousands of concerned U.S. citizens have asked the government to reverse currently approved GMOs, alfalfa, sugar beets, and all those sort of products. But unless legal action blocks upcoming plantings, home gardeners near super beet farms face the risk of growing table beets contaminated by GMO sugar beets. And unfortunately, that's the problem when they start putting all this stuff on crops. And we need to talk to big food companies, and I know restaurant chains, and I know Ruth I don't like to get political, but I know that we do have our particular senators and House representatives here in the state of Washington that represent each and every one of us in our own districts. And I really believe that we need to, any time, no matter what the subject being, is that we need to stand up and don't be afraid to send an email and call the office, their offices, or to, you know, just write a letter, do whatever. Maybe get some neighbors in yours that also want to sign the letter that you're sending, whatever you want to talk to them particularly about. So that's kind of what I have to say today. But we also know that biotech pesticides are doing what they're doing to our body. We know that, we hear that, we see that, and that's one of the real important reasons that we need to have the air, particularly in our home, that they find is now even more contaminated and polluted sometimes in the outside air, that we utilize one of our best products we have for that in the NECID line, and that is, of course, our air system, our Kinko air purifier that takes out 99.9% of all the stuff, the dust and stuff. And when I stop and think of what I've learned on this call and babies and everything else and how important it is for us to, maybe we don't realize it, but you know what goes in that lung don't usually come out. It usually sticks to the lung because of the way that the lung is structured in itself into a gluey substance inside the lung, which attracts all that stuff to it. But do you have any comments, Ruth? Joan, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to make some suggestions. I'm thinking about I live in a little town of Silicon, and there's a town council, and you guys live in cities and towns and counties that have council meetings, and there's always an opportunity to sign up for an audience input, okay? They have a little section in their agendas for, you know, somebody that comes that wants to say something to the council. And I don't know about other states, but it's pretty popular on both the left and the right to talk about being green. And, of course, in the state of Washington, unlike California, we're kind of big on our water and salmon. And it's possible to just write out a simple little paragraph and get a couple of websites to pass out to the county council members, you know, at the end. Just come and make a little statement and say something positive about what, you know, the little area's recently done to recycle or whatever, because everybody wants that identity. And I believe that working on the smaller level is a, at least in the state of Washington now, in order to pass this GMO labeling, I think that's the way for us to go.
Yeah, I do too, Joan. And one of the things is, let me speak from experience, is I've served on the Thurston County Conservation District Commission as a supervisor for about 6 years. And one of the things in my earlier life, and one of the things that I think is very important whenever we go to a city council or a county commissioner's meeting or your district, conservation district or whatever, and that is that civility is very, very important. And sometimes I know people come to meetings and they want to really stress their opinion, but they kind of get, I'll call it a little bit overblown or a little bit belligerent.
Yes, sort of. Right.
And trust me, when you're sitting there as a county representative or whatever, that seems to, the steel trap door wants to close shut because they're looking for facts. They're not looking necessarily for individual, you know, when you speak against or for something, they appreciate that, but your tone and how it's directed to them, they, and we, I guess, should say, always take that sometimes as being a little bit personal. So it's best to have your facts in order, have a good 1 minute or 2 minute or 3 minute presentation, whatever the time limit is, and do it concisely, but yet do it powerfully, but yet be there with some research that you can give to people that are listening to what it is you have to say, that really make that final decision in regards to what's going to happen.
And help to tie it into something that little local area feels proud about, that is in line with, you know, going green or recycling or not polluting the watershed, you know, something that they've actually, the council has already actually acted on. You know, do a little bit of history on them, you know, or you just know from your local area, you know, what the thing has been.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can't be powerful, just
be
a good individual at the same time.
switching.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything you'd like to say on the subjects Ruth and I talked about today, or Joan or anybody?
I would like to ask, well, I think our time is up, but why are we not suggesting that we not allow these to be used in our area? I think the island here has already said they are not wanting to allow anyone using GMOs anywhere on this island because they are so into organics.
Yeah, I thought I would start in the town of Steilacoom with getting the town to buy into not using Roundup and to making it public that they, on the parks, the local parks and the local whatever, they're going to take the step and not use the pesticides that pollute the water streams, you know, that poison the salmon. If they can't pass a law to make other people not use it, they can act as a model, a role model, as a leader. And they can make a big deal out of it. Town of Steilacoom goes green. Pierce County, has recycled more volume, than they times more than they put in the garbage in the landfills, and they brag about it. Let's give them some.
And also, Ruth, before we get off the call, I have to apologize. I did send you that.
Okay.
I pulled it off the Facebook and sent it to you because you were discussing it the other day. Quite impressive, I thought, for me anyhow. Okay, anybody else have any comments you want to make? Well, today is the day that our television is going to be bogged down full of inauguration and everything. So have a great day today. And
beware.
I've been trying to do laundry and do wash your dishes.
I gotta get sick. Everybody have a big day.
Okay. I'm gonna read a book. Okay.
Talk to you later. Talk
bye
to
bye.
You tomorrow or somebody will.
Bye bye.
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 To learn more about Nican, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.